How would you like to remove money blocks? In today's episode, Elena Sofia Ruiz is going to tell us how to do this. And what's so special about Elena is that she hosts intimate conversations with men about life, love, and sex, a podcast dedicated to exploring the inner world of men, their health, their well-being, relationships, intimacy, and capacity for love. And she's an accomplished businesswoman and human behavior expert based in San Diego, California, and she's the founder of United Payroll and HR. So, Elena, tell us about what are money blocks and how can people remove them so they can have an abundance of wealth?
Follow me for more interviews with world's most innovative health changemakers to live your healthiest life ever.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here. And thank you for that question. Speaking about money is one of my favorite things. And money starts with, I'm going to just first say a statement and then I'm going to elaborate because this is going to be crazy. The number one reason for any individual not being able to first accumulate or hold on to money is guilt and shame. Guilt and shame from the past, with a purpose of an altruistic behavior toward the future. And what do I mean with that? Okay, so I'm gonna share a story that I share, which is not real because in Tokyo they feel sorry for me, but it's not a real story. But I'm just giving an example how simple things can actually generate shame and guilt in our heads, pardon me, in our minds. So we create perceptions since a very young age of what is there, what is we see, and what really happened. In order to for us to distinguish that the things can move like objects, for instance, was there a car? Yes, everybody knows there was there a car. What we cannot define with the same perception is usually when it's a verb. And what I mean is the car was speeding, right? Or the car was moving or not moving. Usually when it's a verb, it's different, or an action, which means I'm gonna go creating this, so I type this to money. For instance, if you go to a place and you ask yourself, how is the weather here? Somebody's going to perceive that as hot and somebody's going to perceive that as cold. And this is a very specific perception of the individual history, which means if you live in a cold country, maybe the way you perceive this is going to be more warm than if you live in a hot a country. And because we all have different backgrounds, we're going to create different perceptions. So we are very young. We create a story that can change. There are things that cannot be moved again, but are things that we create in our story. So when I was 5 years old, my mom took me to the corner store, like family store, with Mr. John. And as she was collecting some, putting some groceries in the basket, I was just, a little 5-year-old girl. And she distracted herself paying the bill with Mr. John. We walked to the home, to our home, and we get there. She realized that I pull a bubble gum from my little dress and I show it to her from my palm. And she asked me, "Where do you get that from?" And I said, "Oh, I got it from Mr. John's store." When that happened, when you were, busy speaking with him, at that moment, she wants to make sure that I understand the concept of stealing. So she makes sure, she's very tough, and she says, because of kids like you, he one day is going to lose all his store and he's going to die poor. And he just goes and exaggerates about the situation. And we all have been in a situation like that where we learn the concept of this is doesn't belong to us and we have to pay for that. And our parents address that in different ways. This is a very simple example. So what happened is Elena, 5-year-old, continued to grow. And in the meantime, Mr. John and his own, he started drinking a lot. He's doing so well in his store. He started drinking a lot. His wife doesn't like that. She decides to part ways in the relationship. He mismanages his store. He loses his store, his money, or he barely is making any money. He's drinking so much. And one day, he decides to go and drink, and he not even made it home. And that specific morning, 15-year-old or 13-year-old Elena is walking by and she saw how his buddy is in the street. And I know I'm exaggerating. Probably these things don't happen every day, but you know, I'm from a different generation. That could have been a real great story. So in the Elena mind, what I did, because of me, he lost his wife, he lost his store, and he lost everything. So I create a story in my own head, which is not true, but who's going to convince me of otherwise? Because my mother told me, because I lied once, that's all it took for me to do this domino effect on him, and he lost everything. So what happened? That for the rest of my life, until I become aware that I created some guilt, for the rest of my life, I will be conducting myself in a very different way, because I know that the consequences of my acts are very dramatic, right, for other individuals. So what I do, I donate my time and my money excessively to individuals who go by the name of John, or who have the age of males, etc. Anything. If Mr. John used to wear like a red top with a blue hat, that's all it takes for me to recreate that memory and be extra generous to those individuals. If I go to a restaurant and I see an individual wearing that, even if it's not at that age, I will overtip. So I as automatically trying to fix and resolve something that I will never pay. I will never pay a 5 cents bubble gum, because guilt is never paid for the rest of our lives. So how do we remove that? Well, first of all, we go into that moment and we see what was actually there and what was real for us. And what was real for us is that we stole, right? We took something that didn't belong to us. But what really happened is that he didn't have a security system, or he didn't have in place a system in order to avoid. And even though I didn't really purposely took something that didn't belong, because at that moment, it had not been introduced to me, the concept of when something doesn't belong to you, it's stealing, right? So individuals sometimes going to this situation, not just with this specific situation of money, but sometimes is with relationships. If we ever, for all you listeners, I want you to go to a moment when you had a relationship with someone, even if it was when you were 5, 7, 10, 15, 20, whatever age you have, any relationship in which you perceive that you got greater advantage, that's the blockage that you're creating in your financials. You will try to compensate unconsciously and pay back for that, and you will never completely pay the balance of that debt. Those $2, $3, 50 cents, $10 will be there going on and on in your unconscious mind. You still to own $10. And it doesn't matter if you donate $100,000, because it's in your unconscious mind and you have triggers. Every time when you see something that creates the same trigger, you're going to do it again and again. So with money, there's two ways to handle things. First is attracting the money. So that's the first blockage, right? If you are negotiating, or you have a business and you're hiring an individual who looks like someone that you did perceive to do something and there was an unfair exchange, you will overpay that individual. You will create more excuses for the individual to behave and do things however that individual wants. So it's not until you go and balance and see how that individual, by my actions, it's a fantasy story, but he could have created, he found out that a five-year-old took a bubble gum, not knowing that, he could have created a system and focusing on that instead of focusing on alcohol. Obviously, at that time, we don't know exactly what the other individual is doing in the story. All we can do is focus on what we know. The other thing is, there are so many individuals who are magnificent at attracting money, but they cannot keep it. So that's the biggest skill. As you can imagine, when you are donating your time instead of bringing the money for you, that is actually going to be a way to try to pay for a guilty conscience. Now, before we even create that conscience, that can be created by a five-year-old. But the most important thing, and the question I have, I just want to ask Lily, when we have a conversation about money, and I have conversations about money with many individuals, the question I ask is, give me in 1 minute all the words that you perceive mean money. When you think of money, what do you think? And believe it or not, many times individuals say something like, it's evil, it destroys families, and blah, blah, blah. You know, things are like in a very negative, you know, heavy word. And then the question I ask is, how do you expect to have money if you have that perception of money? You would not want to have evil in your hands. You would not want to destroy your family. So the biggest blockage is the perception that we have about money. That is the first thing that we're going to have to work on. Because if we don't have a healthy relationship, so that's when we are individuals that we manage money, right? When we're 5 years old, we don't know this. We don't know money. But I start my savings account at six. Obviously, this is a subject that is important to me. So I created a healthy relationship at a very young age. I was just having this presentation about money in Washington on a conference to talk about electronic money. And in the banking industry, the individuals who don't need money, according with a survey that I ran, is those individuals who have bad credit, any minor. And I think that minors, all my nephews who are under the age of 12 have bank accounts. So we educate our kids and we bring those perceptions to it to our kids. I learned this from my mom, who learned from her mom, right? Saving money, or the concept of money, or bringing wealth. And then the second is administering wealth. And even among my siblings, I remember that if they give us, let's say, $1 every Sunday, I will be the one who creates a bank account or a savings or piggy bank. And my younger sister, for instance, on the day one, she will spend all the money. So our relationship with money will be very different. Each one of us were so different, and we came from the same mother. So there's already a perception that we have and we create. Perhaps in my mind, money represents solving or bringing solutions. That's one of the things, regardless. For those individuals who believe or perceive that money destroys families, imagine if you can bring solutions to your family just with the fact that you can accumulate more money. And just by saying that, don't you feel like, okay, you go like I didn't think about that. So the biggest blockage is always going to be what we think, perceive, and the relationship that we have created. If we think that money is dirty, I got into that part once because I used to take money to the bank when I was in my late teens. Believe it or not, I was already managing, or I have a long, long relationship with money. And I remember that I feel like everybody's touching that. And I got into this. And I remember my mother told me, if you feel like that, you're not going to have money. Money is not going to come to you. And she will say, my mom used to do this and this, you know, little things about money. And I thought that, well, that makes sense. And I changed my relationship. That was in my teens again, you know, because we go through times like the teenager who doesn't want to eat meat anymore, or who, you know, we create perceptions and things. We start trying to make our own decisions in our youth years that, they evolve at a later time or not, in one way or another. So rule number one, ask yourself, what is your relationship with money? In 1 minute, what do you say without thinking, just what comes out of you? And if any of those words have a heavy, heavy content and negative, probably you will never want to have money or build any wealth. If you have a healthy relationship, then let's go back and analyze when in your life you have guilt or shame from the past with a altruistic behavior to the future, which means you're going to give the money, right? Those are the ones who can attract the money and not keeping it. They don't keep it. They try to give it away. So once you determine that you actually have a good relationship, and that's going to be changed if you don't change. So let's just for example say that destroy families, and it happens. We see individuals fighting for when somebody died, fighting for the mom or dad money or grandpa money or things like that. We heard about these things, how people who have amazing relationships, they're fighting. So what will be the actual benefit and the negative things that we believe? And before I answer that, I want to say this thing that is very strong again. Money always goes to those who really value, who those who do not value money, to the ones who value the most. Money travels from those who do not value money to the ones who value money the most. And what I mean with that, if we took all the wealth in the entire world and make an equal distribution among all humans, in about 3 to 6 months, all the money will go from those who do not value money to the ones who value money the most. As an example, when I was in Washington speaking to the bankers, one banker, one manager, he was speaking about at one time, one of the clients lost a lot of money through fraud or scams or something like that. And you can see in his face, he was truly sorry about that situation. When you see this, this is fear. This is another emotion, right? So our perceptions and our emotions are going to create that. When you see and know about someone who lost a lot of money, who had money, and a lot of money means different things for different people. $1 million means a lot of money for individuals and not really much for others. So when someone in your own perception lost a lot of money, you would not want to be in those shoes ever. That's another emotion. So blockage are created by the perceptions that we have and the emotional behavior that we have based on the relationship, and by that means the concept that we have about money or the perception that we have about money.
Thank you. So One interesting thing for me, for example, is that when I was young, I remember my mom, she had four jobs that she was working at the same time for the same company. And I had this perception that she was the director of a large company with 250 employees. And she was also the HR person, the accountant, and an engineer as well.
I love that.
and what I noticed was that she would get her salary. She would get us really nice stuff. And then I would say 3-4 days later, she would run out of money. But then she would do some extra work, and then she would always have extra money. So it's like we never missed having anything. But there was this kind of like ongoing sort of like insecurity that was followed by, you know, money kind of comes and goes. Money, like, it was always flowing, you know. So I have this perception. It's easy for me to make money. And one way that I've noticed that I'm also great at attracting money and attracting opportunities. But one thing that I do is that I self-sabotage. So when really great opportunities and when really great, let's say, big chunks of money come in, I find a way, sometimes, not always, I have become better at this recently. So what I used to do, let's say, is that, let's say someone paid me a lot of money, I would find a way to people please and to throw in, okay, even if, let's say, I promised to do X, I would do 100X versus mm-hmm. what I promised, which would basically, if you put the number of hours that are included in the eventual outcome, mm-hmm. it's like you're making less than someone working in a supermarket. You know, mm-hmm. because I created it like this. I didn't kind of live up to, okay, you bought X, I'll just give you X. I was just like killing myself, overdoing, over giving, over people pleasing. And I'm sure that's a way of self-sabotage. And I'm wondering, how do you stop that? Like, how do you stop those kind of self-sabotaging habits that lead you to ruin?
I love your question. And I love the fact that you become so open and authentic here. So the reason why you're doing this is because, and by the way, I would love to first address your mom's behavior. So I am pretty certain if you have I'm not sure if your mom's still alive or not, but if you have a conversation with her, okay, you can have a conversation with her and ask, mom, when you were working so hard as an engineer, and I have come from a business of payroll and HR, so I know how hard those ladies work, payroll and HR and all of this. Do you ever feel killed for working so much and not being with us? And most likely she's going to say yes. So every time she got money, she tried to overspend with you guys to replace it by the guilt of not being there with you. So that was her guilt, right? Yeah. So, but I can guarantee you that until today, she still feel like, yeah, I feel like I was not with you. So no matter how many times she did it, she never paid for that. This is what I mean with it's hidden in our unconscious mind. So do you mind if we explore that thing with your mom, what I could possibly ask? Let's say that your mom, and it's here, and I ask, okay, pardon me, Lily, what is your mother's name?
Valeria. And I want to add something before you continue, that on top of that, she also had this belief that she was kind of like resentful towards like rich people. She would always say like, oh, these rich people, like they're always mm-hmm. taking advantage of others.
That is exactly what I mean about the relationship with money. Do you really think she was going to be wealthy? And by the way, oh my gosh, my heart is vibrating and I almost want to cry because this is toward you. When you hear that, you will never have money yourself, because if you do, you will disappoint your mom. You will become that person rich that she disappointed by and resent. You will never want your mother to resent you. So you will not, I answered your question already. That's your self-sabotage. That's why you're doing it. So as long as you're anchoring your beliefs based on your mother's perceptions and words, you will never want to be the person that she resents the most. So let's go back. Thank you. I mean, I think you gave me the answer for the reason why you're doing this. So does that make sense in your mind?
Yeah.
Okay, so for her, and I don't know where her resentment was created. Again, I don't know, Miss Valeria, which by the way, beautiful. I love the Valeria name. But I'm intuitive and I'm doing this for so long, but I don't have 100% certainty, but I'm pretty confident to say that probably there was some individual who had a lot of money and did something that she did not appreciate. It had nothing to do with the fact that the person had money. It was the behavior of the person and didn't do it because he had money. It was some behavior that she didn't appreciate. So she labeled every single individual who had money as, this is the relationship, the perception, the label she had created with that person was, this person has money. And this person did a behavior that had nothing to do with money that she resented. And therefore she created, everybody who has money has this behavior, and therefore I resent this individual. That's how she probably created this. Now, moving forward, she didn't even want to have money. This is why you guys got ups and downs with her, because she resented. Why would she create money if she resents those individuals? She doesn't want to be that kind. And then that was your inheritance, right? So now you don't want to disappoint. You don't want your mother. And I just have a feeling that you have a pretty close relationship to your mom, right? So you want to be that individual who at least not be resented. And close doesn't mean healthy or good. Close means we know where we are on a regular basis. Some family don't even know when there's struggles or things like that, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, one interesting thing with my mom is that we have like a soldier to general kind of a relationship. She's the general, I'm the soldier.
Of course.
What I mean by that is that she's a very giving person, okay? And a few years ago, she came to London, and...
Oh, hold on, Lily. Do you hear what you said? Very giving person. Do you see how she gets rid of everything?
Yes. So that's what I'm getting to. Like, she came to London, and I thought I was helping her by coming to London, because I thought, you know what? You can come to London, you'll be making so much more money, you'll be working less, and this kind of thing. And even though perhaps her status will not be director of a company or whatever, but you'll be making a lot more money. I mean, for me, that was more important, you know? And so she came, and then what she was doing, she was making a lot of money, but she was working really hard. And then at the end of the week, she would come with literally a sack of clothes, shoes, organic apples, organic whatever, everything that she liked. And she was just gifting it to me every week. And it was annoying so much. It was annoying me so much because first, She was not thinking about what I wanted, like what, you know, like I don't like brown or green or, you know what I mean? I like just red, right? So you know, she was not like paying attention to what I wanted. Secondly, but she would just push those things onto me. She was just like, oh, I want to help you. But, you know, I wanted her to help herself, to have for her pension, to have for, you know what I mean? She was not comfortable with that. She took that as I'm pushing her away by not accepting her things.
Okay, I can address that and I love that. All right, so for those of you, we will use our money and the things that we value the most. And I will speak about the same again when I was in Washington speaking to the bankers. And I said, if you're trying to push in and selling your clients' retirement, you know, a 401k or retirement account, but if you don't understand and you don't speak in their own values and their own language, right? For instance, if you see speaking with a mom who has kids and still raising kids, she's not going to worry about her retirement at that moment. She's going to worry about her value. And then there's a way to determine your values, right? Which I'm not going to go in that route right now so I can focus. So once you determine your values and you understand that that woman's values is the family or her kids, you're going to know that she's going to prioritize that, which means instead of offering a 401k account or a retirement account, that 401k is in the United States, a retirement account, some example of retirement account, you offer an account for this school or for when the kids grow up and they can go to college or school or the things that are in, and she most likely is going to say yes to that and no to the retirement. So when you're trying to communicate or sell, anytime you have an ask or you open your mouth towards somebody, most likely you are trying to buy or sell something. So this is when the negotiation starts. So you don't have to be a banker to have this conversation, even with your mom, right? So what is important to her? You go and look and identify the values. Again, I don't want to be distracted with that, but once you identified that, then you can speak with her and say, well, mom, if you save your money, you're going to have money for that instead of whatever is important. And even let's say that it's important for her kids, which evidently her kids are very important to her. Maybe in a way that said, look, how about if we say, put a money here in an account so we can travel or we can, you know, invest time together. And by the way, when I work with clients, oh my gosh, I get so inspired to speak about this, getting more comfortable. When I work with clients, one of the things that I'm careful with the language, right? For instance, when I ask somebody, what do you do over the holidays? And I ask this question, what do you do last weekend or something, where they answer to me how they use your time and usually said, well, I spend time with family. They will normally say that here in the United States, where I am from. And here's the key. When you spend something, the unconscious mind, the word spend means bye-bye, right? I invite everybody to start with that. Well, that's, I guess I'm like a number 10, right? One of the things that is has to really change is I invest time with family. When you spend time goes bye-bye, amigo. When you invest time, you're creating something that is going to be a reward at a later time. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Even with time. Same thing with money. Me, every time that I go and buy something, even if it's $20, $30, $50, $10, right? Something that most people could afford. Let's say that I'm going to buy a snack. And I ask, is this an investment or a spend? And a spend is something that is going to hurt my body, that is not going to help, that it's going to have to work more, and blah, blah, blah. An investment is in a snack that is going to nurture my body. Or anything, even with clothing, right? Is this an investment or a spend? An investment is clothing that I'm going to use for work, that I'm going to use to create more money and opportunities for myself. And a spend is clothing that is not going to create an additional reward for me. So when we speak about that, and it doesn't matter if it's $10, $50, $200. For instance, I only buy insurance and electronics. Insurance is a lot of waste of money when they are a specific amount, because at one point it's easier for me to just buy a new electronic, right? So it's be careful on, are you spending or investing your money. And when you feel like that, you feel generous, right? So when you said my mother is very giving, anyone will love a giving person, right? They want to be loved, they want to be liked, they want to be something else. So I'm gonna go and another story here. I know I'm speaking about a lot of things. It's like a flower and every petal is something about money, right? The other thing is the masculine and feminine energy. Another one of my subjects that I love and adore. So our mothers create our feminine energy, which is our being. How are we being? Are we being funny? Are we being cute? Are we being intelligent? Are we being this? Our parents, our fathers create our doing, which is what are you doing with your life, your career, how you make your money, right? So a lot of the times, especially if we have a stronger influence from the mother, we are not going to be individuals who do careers who can bring money, right? So that's another thing. Because for me, I became an entrepreneur at the age of 12, and I obviously, my for the most part, my relationship with money has been healthy. When I see business opportunity in everywhere, I just walk out of my house and I can see business opportunity everywhere. But this is how my mind works. Some individuals are, which means that anyone can create business about anything they want. When you are not creating money on the things that you do for a living, it's because you're doing the wrong thing. You said it, you attract opportunities. So you're doing the right thing. Your thing is see why you're giving the money. See what release of pleasure do you have. When you give money, what makes it feel good? And whatever it is, think about the opposite, and that's the problem you're trying to solve. Because you will actually do that to a specific target. Let's say to women or men or something. Even as a woman, if we ever ended a relationship with a man who we perceive that we hurt, and we all do, men and women. So unfortunately, in the new generations, women are not taking responsibility of a lot of things, but we have a lot of responsibility in relation. In every single relationship that is broken, we have 50% of responsibility. So when we don't take responsibility on something, we're going to pay with our beliefs. We're going to pay with our perceptions, and we're going to pay sooner or later, because that guilt and that shame hides really, really, really good in our unconscious mind.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you.
Well, I have it's Elena Sophia Life Balance. That is my business. And I help, individuals that manage and want to manage a lot of money to remove all of that, any guilt, any shame, or any emotion. And in my podcast, Intimate Conversations with Men, but we love men and women. I just think that men sometimes need a little more help with their emotions. So, but I could be wrong. I'm learning, just like every single person that asks questions. That's what I call myself, a curious conversationalist.
Thank you.
Heal Podcast with Lily Patrascu shares longevity and anti-aging techniques to stay young forever, increase energy, overcome addiction, and live your longest, best life ever, shared by world's most innovative alternative and traditional health thought leaders, healers, and doctors. Discover quantum healing strategies to heal your mind, body, and soul.